Skypeck has joined the video call. Oh, it's live. Okay. I had to write this one haste, so we'll see how this one goes.
Up on my ears, this time tomorrow. Drive, walk, or run, but this time no sorrow. First stop, Jay and Jack. Next stop, Ramblecast. And I cannot wait to see the expression on the face of my sweet fan.
Nice.
Woo!
That's nice. Very nice. Very nice.
It did inspire me to get a reunion podcast together, but it was nice.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that. I got back from physical therapy at 5:15, and I wrote that in like 10 minutes. So,
Matt, you're money, man.
Fantastic.
What are you talking about? There's a great reunion podcast coming up. We had nothing to do with, but Jay and Jack.
Yeah.
Have finally reunited. After
reunited
all this time.
And it feels, and it so,
feels
good.
So good.
Well, yeah, it's in the podcast, but I figured I'd tell you guys this now. Jay had his tripod up, and it's the first time we've actually been in the same room podcasting since I think the last. It was like Warm Taffy's farewell or whatever it was with the married man, and so he took a picture of it, and I think he has both pictures, the one with now and then 10 years ago. But with the tripod, it's funny because I kept looking as I was talking. I kept looking at the tripod, but there was no camera up there anymore. So finally, I dawned on me. I go, "Oh, that's from doing that YouTube thing." I keep looking at the camera because I'm trained to look now at the camera, and I go, "There's literally no one there. Why do I keep looking over there?" And then it's funny. Jay started doing it without realizing, and he's like, "We're like gesturing towards the camera, but there was no camera there." But it was kind of funny. You had to be there, but it was funny. But it was supposed to only be an hour podcast. I think we talked to Ralph. Ralph is – we have a special guest.
Spoiler.
And we talked to him for like an hour, so it's going to be all edited and stuff like that.
Editing. Wow, that's a new one, huh?
Well, not by me. I'm not editing.
I'm out.
I'm not doing that. No. That's too much.
Anywho. So it's been a week.
February 4th.
Nice. Yeah.
February 4th.
All right. Who's freezing? Who's freezing today? Who's really cold?
Sure ain't me.
So it just dropped here. The temperature dropped. We were in the high 30s this afternoon, and it's currently 13 degrees and expected to by morning be at 5.
Nice
degrees and up. So yeah, which isn't too bad. I mean, all things considered, if you look at other parts of the country. But
zero degrees. It was somewhere around negative 11 at some point today, but that was with the wind chill, it was even lower than that. So
negative 11. Wow.
Yeah.
We're at 35 right now, and it's supposed to get down to like 18. Today. But next Tuesday and Wednesday it's 71. My sinuses can't handle this weather out here. It's ridiculous. You just don't come on up north, buddy.
You can be a fan of your team of the community which you can live in. Good old New England. So actually, I have a fun heat related story to share. So Friday night, I had some friends over for dinner. We had a real nice night. Had a good meal, had a few drinks or whatever, and I went to bed. I fell asleep a little early, which I tend to do after having a few drinks after dinner. And my wife wakes me up in the morning at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and she's like, "Chris, there's some weird sound. What is that sound?" I'm like, "What are you talking about? It's nothing." And she's like, "No, get up, get out of bed. There's a weird sound coming inside the house from inside the house." So
wait,
I pop
wait,
up.
Isn't
and,
that a movie?
Right. So sure enough, there's this really like almost like a real tonal pitch, like humming noise coming from my heating and ventilation system. And I'm like, oh shit. So I go downstairs to the furnace, and sure enough, the okay. So we're going to talk about the anatomy of a gas furnace for a quick second. So the gas furnace has a couple of different compartments. So when you turn the gas heat on, the actual gas burners send the flow to the chamber, which heats up the air. After about a few seconds or a minute or so, the blower turns on, which sucks the air from inside the house through your floor panels into the furnace, and then shoots the air back up, heated, to heat your home. Well, that blower seized and was not working at all. So it was like stuck, and that's what the hum was. Meanwhile, my house is being filled with this terrible smell of a burnt motor.
Those are all nice.
Yeah. So luckily, it wasn't super cold that night. So it was like 40 degrees or whatever. So I turned off the furnace, and I then spent the next 3 hours researching how the fuck do you fix a furnace blower. So on Saturday, I go out and I buy a blower motor, and I get home. It's the wrong one. I have to drive into Rhode Island, which is way over there.
Is it outside of Boston?
It's outside of Boston to find the correct blower. So I get back home and I'm taking apart my furnace. Now here I am scared shitless because I think I'm gonna blow my house up, which I wasn't going to. So I removed the housing. I pulled the housing out. I removed the motor. I got the motor out, cut the wire. So I was like, yes, like I did this. This is awesome. And then I put in the second motor, which is the one that actually fit, and I'm sliding everything back together before I connect all the wires. I had to splice wires. I was doing like electrical work and shit. I felt so accomplished. I was like, you know, splicing wires together. I'm like, this is awesome, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sliding that son of a bitch back into the furnace, and all of a sudden, snap.
Oh no.
So what I did, broke the fucking circuit board that controls the whole goddamn thing.
Oh no.
So if anyone is actually watching live in the chat, you can see up here, there's a broken off piece here. There's a broken off piece here.
Oh, it's got a bad motivator.
Over here. Yeah, exactly. So here I am. I'm like, shit, there's nothing I can do about this. I had to order the part online. It wasn't going to come for a couple of days. And then I came back and I had to put it all back together again. And I was nervous. I really was. So I actually ended up hiring a guy to come down and just check my work and make sure I wasn't going to blow my house up. And I hadn't quite done all the electrical work to the new one quite yet, but all the physical replacement, all the shit inside the furnace was done. And he looks at me. He goes, did you do this? I'm like, what? He goes, did you replace the motor pulse of it? I'm like, yeah. He goes, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass, but I've never seen a homeowner do what you did, and you did a damn good job. I was like, fuck yes. I'm like, go upstairs and tell my wife that right now, will you please? she don't believe me. But yeah, so at the end of the day, I did some pretty damn good work.
Was she at any point going, can you just hire someone to do it?
No, that's exactly why he was there.
Okay.
Because, yes, it's exactly what she was saying. So I said, all right, whatever. I'm going to pay this guy at a premium to come out and that same day, same night, to come in and make sure everything's working. But I have heat now.
Yeah, because anytime anybody tells me, just hire someone to do it, I don't care if it's open heart surgery. I'm gonna stick it out and do it myself. I don't care what it is. You don't tell me what I can't do.
Yeah, I tell you, I got 95% of the way complete, and then this shit happened. This is my little trophy that I'm going to keep for, well, probably the next 45 minutes until I'm going to throw it in the trash.
That's nice. We should give it away.
I think you could sign that and, you know, mail that out to
a listener.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe if one of the patrons wants this shit, you know, do something stupid, and I'll give it to you.
How many people we have in the chat? Let's see.
Just Kayla.
You have to autograph that, Chris. You know, like,
does Kayla want it?
Probably should. Yeah.
She hasn't laid dibs to it yet, but
yeah, I don't blame her.
A lot of people come running in here.
It makes me so thankful that my next door neighbor is a heating plumbing guy. Just every day, I'm so thankful that close friends with him too. So
it's good to have friends that know what best. They're doing. I have a friend like that. He can do anything. It's just like,
well, since he lives right next door too, there's he's helped me out of several jams, you know, where it's like, hey, can you come over tonight? Because I don't have water.
I'm feeling lonely.
Yeah. No, that's very impressive, you know.
Yeah,
Chris. So I know that you live a very privileged lifestyle there. So, you know.
Oh yes, I am.
It is tough being privileged. It is.
Yeah. So it's really cool to see you do that. Some of that, you know, really amazing manly stuff.
Yeah.
But hey, at least you didn't blow up the house, and you know, you
actually installed. My wife and I have actually gotten pretty good. She'll like read the directions to me as I'm doing it, like certain things. You know, we actually work pretty well together. Something like that. If I'm installing it, stuff like that. But there's just times where I don't want anyone bugging me, especially if it's something I'm not familiar with or comfortable with. I want to fuck it up on my own. That's just how I am.
My wife loves to tackle the dryer. That's like her thing that she likes to take apart. And ever since I cut my hand very badly trying to repair our washer, just don't mess with the washer. It's just, I was taking the back plate off, and you know, there's sharp edges on that stuff. And
it's like sheet metal.
Yeah, exactly. I cut my hand pretty badly, and I just was like, you know what? That's enough. That's enough messing with the washer for me.
I'm an artist.
I do stuff.
No, I'm just saying, you don't want to destroy your hand. I mean, I get it. You know, I get it.
I mainly just my left hand. Yeah. So if something happened to my left hand, I mean,
what would the listeners do without your artwork?
Probably just get Chris's components.
Yeah. Everyone wants a good circuit board. Come on. I mean, Jay actually might buy it from you, Chris. You know how he loves to collect random old crap technology. I'm sure Chris is listening.
I think his earplugs are not working. Ah. Chris, he can fix that, but he always has technical problems each week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shut up.
I'm not calling him out, but you know, it seems like my mic's not working. My earplugs aren't working. fuck it.
So on my way
Tom Brady's
to
the goat.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So on my way to physical therapy today, I was listening to the doorman of this building and probably just some other random guy that was standing there arguing over professional football. Because he was like, I'm telling you, the first team that scores is going to win the Super Bowl. And the guy was like, yeah, but that's what Atlanta thought too. And then they blew it, you know. And then I just watched them back and forth. And then finally
they choked it.
Oh, they choked. Yeah, it was terrible. And then and he goes, it's all a conspiracy. Anyway, the game is rigged. Everyone knows it. Yeah, you're good, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go fix your components.
And that's
I even interrupt Nick unintentionally by using a sound check that I thought was inconspicuous.
I'm just waiting for the email. Like, who is the guy over like just tapping the microphone for like a minute?
Hey, well, they can see it. It's not me.
Yeah, right.
Not me.
That would be Sherry.
Yeah.
Who's in the
that
chat.
That would be Sherry. Yeah.
Oh, hey, Sherry.
You can see that I'm not eating any pretzels.
No pretzels.
No pretzels. Nothing in my hand. I'm just, well, you know what? I bought a bag of pretzels and I go, they're stale. I just opened them up. I go, what the fuck? And I looked at the date. The date's, 6 months down the road? They were stale. I don't know if it had a little hole in the bag or something, but that's just, they're stale pretzels. What do I do with them? Do I take them back? Say, hey.
Why not?
Pretzels were stale.
Yeah. America.
Just ticked me off. I was mad. I was upset. I know the rest of the world's freezing, but I was upset I had stale pretzels.
Yeah, it's your privilege.
I can't even. It is.
The Midwest just shut down. Just the whole thing just shut down. So
yeah, as it should, man. It's like a fucking
post office, not delivering mail.
Global whaming over there.
Bars were closed. The colleges closed. I mean, it takes a lot to close a college.
I can't believe how cold. You know what it does? Global whaming.
Global whaming.
What's whaming?
Oh, you haven't seen that yet. Oh man. Okay. Well, let me let's play a game here. We're gonna call.
Okay, Hal.
We're gonna call this game. Who tweeted this?
Jack.
Hold on.
Yes. I'm
getting ready for the Super Bowl though.
Yeah. All right.
So the game is called Who Tweeted This? And I just got to find the tweet real quick. Sorry, unless this person actually deleted it.
While you're looking, I wanted to talk about the Padres are going after Manny Machado, but so are the Chicago White Sox. So there's been like a Twitter war going on between Chicago and San Diego. Some guy in Chicago is actually trying to convince everybody in this Twitter thing that Chicago has better weather than San Diego.
That's just not possible.
And then someone sent a screen cap of what's going on right now. And someone said, well, baseball's not played the winter. You're missing the fucking point. San Diego's weather is the same pretty much year round.
Yeah.
Chicago's weather, I don't know. You could argue you could argue this and that, but how can you argue that Chicago has better weather than San Diego?
Chicago currently has temps that are colder than Antarctica, Siberia, and Mount Everest.
I know.
And Mars.
So Manny, I know you're a big listener of the Ramblecast. Come to San Diego. We got a great young farm system. Make San Diego great again.
It does smell like Pete. Just saying.
No. Not that stadium.
just San Diego in general.
All right.
Well, downtown does.
Yeah.
I think we already interrupted Nick's story, though. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm used to it.
Did you interrupt Nick's story?
I was just going to talk about what they finished with. It was just a big conspiracy theory that, you know, the NFL is rigged because, you know, especially this season, because, you know, they need the money for the LA teams, their stadium. So, like, let's let both of them get to the playoffs. But the Pats will still win because it's the Pats.
But the NFL doesn't play for the stadium.
I'm just saying. That's just that they need the fan base, though, because no one's going. So, like, they need people to go to this stadium to get the revenue.
Okay, look, the Saints lost, so what? Get over the stupid call. Like, I'm so tired of the people complaining about the Saints.
Well, I would –
That's not even what I'm talking about.
No. What Nick's talking about is there's a conspiracy that they need it because the Chargers got a lot of calls this season that they need the teams in L.A. to be successful.
Yeah.
Because they held the city hostage for years trying to blackmail them into building stadiums for them, which they did in a lot of but San Diego said, fuck you. We're not building the whole fucking thing. Fuck you, Spanos. So, you know, they have to have those teams be successful, and it just seemed like the Rams got a lot of calls at the end. The Chargers got a lot of calls at the end. But even the Chargers getting all the calls in the world still couldn't do without choking. So,
Matt, I've believed this for 20 years because – like I think I actually said this last podcast. I'm sure Kayla will correct me if I did. The Titans were the Oilers, the Houston Oilers, and the Houston Oilers always sucked.
I mean, they were the Houston Oilers,
and they get to Tennessee, and no one in Tennessee gives a shit about professional football, except now they do because it's been 20 years. But you know, it's a college state. Almost all the South is college. And so what do? They get to the Super Bowl their first year to lose by 1 yard. And then what happens for the next 20 years? Well, they suck donkey balls.
Yard and a half.
Yard and a half, yeah.
It was close.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good game.
It was a good game.
I actually did a painting of that outreach.
You did?
Mm-hmm. So it was that last play of him reaching out for that last yard. So
was that before you tried to fix the washing machine?
No, that was probably around the time, though. It was probably back then. So I don't know. It was 2012, 2011. So
I don't think sports are – I mean, you could have a referee here or there be on the take. I mean, it happened in the NBA. Some guy was on the take with some gangsters and stuff like that for, you know, point shaving and stuff like that. But I don't know.
There's no way that someone like Jerry Jones, who has a yacht that has two heliports, doesn't have some referee on the take. I'm just saying, like, a yacht that has two heliports, like, one's not good enough? Like, you need two?
Well, he's Jerry Jones.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, if you can afford that.
One heliport holds his ego. Wait, what's it, Snyder for Washington, he has this $100 million yacht. That has a what's that? What's those theaters? Big screen.
It's got an IMAX theater on it.
IMAX theater in it.
Wow. Oh wow!
I mean, I if you have the money,
sure,
$100 million just for a yacht, just for a yacht. I don't.
So hey, we have
year after year after year.
I think we've got a Ramblecast first happening right now. Not the first time people have drank or played a drinking game to our show, but live in the chat, we've got Kayla and and Sherry, who are drinking together remotely. But the fact that she has popped a bottle of champagne. And do you think anyone has ever drank champagne whilst listening to us fools on the old Ramblecast before?
I don't think so.
It's got to be a first. I mean, all right, if we're giving it to Sherry, though, so...
I think you need to draw a bottle of champagne exploding as this week's drawing. I'm just saying.
Yeah, Matt, do it.
Well, unfortunately, I left my my good paper upstairs. Let me see what I got here. Go ahead.
All right. So we're gonna play that game. Who tweeted this shit?
Okay.
Ready?
Ready.
Would we actually know?
So we have to guess who tweeted it?
Do we have answers? Yeah.
You're not gonna need them. Okay, here we go. Thank you. It says we're worth it, Sherry. You're the best. So in the beautiful Midwest, chill temperatures are reaching minus 60 degrees, the coldest ever recorded. In coming days, expected to get even colder. People can't last outside for even minutes. What the hell is going on with global warming? Please come back fast. We need you.
Oh, yeah. I think I read a response, actually.
That's got to be Trump.
That's Trump. Yeah.
I actually read a response by a scientist about
so that. That's where you got global warming.
The polar vortex is actually caused by...
Not only did this asshole spell warming incorrectly, he urged it to come back.
No, that's how they spelled it when he was a kid.
Oh, back when he was a drunk. Yeah.
That's how you spell hamburgers.
We didn't have ours back in the 30s.
Oh my goodness gracious, this is crazy. But it's one of those things where, like, I mean, obviously we don't have to go too far into this because, you know, the damage has been done on Twitter and the internet responded appropriately. But so a couple of things. Let's pull this apart real quick. So. Clearly does not know the difference between a weather event and climate. Doesn't realize that global warming, it actually caused said polar vortex. Doesn't realize that warming is spelled with an R. And even with all of that combined, he actually in his tweet is asking for global warming to come back because we need it.
Maybe he just misses George Michael, you know, like, and he's like wants Wham to get back together.
I was thinking the same thing, man.
Yeah, global whamming, right?
I was gonna go make a joke about that, but I go, oh, wait, George Michael died.
I did not get that until right then. I was like, what?
I was thinking the same thing, awesome. But I was afraid to make the joke because I didn't want George Michael fans to get mad at me.
So. Last Christmas, you gave. Aww. Just ruins global that song
warming
for me.
Before you go go. There's got to be a song in there. Come on, Nick.
Yeah. So there is already an 11-ounce ceramic coffee mug available on Amazon.com or jandjack.com/Amazon. You can get your coffee mug that says, I like my covifi like I like my global warming hot. Or global warming hot.
You know, if I would have saw that, that would have been. I'm sure there's already 100 shirts out there about global whamming. I just
unfreaking believable.
I told Nick earlier today. It mentioned something in the Owen and Bruce message here, but it is getting hot in here, so I'm going to take off all my clothes.
Oh, I did give you guys a shout out on Jay and Jack's new podcast.
Oh, nice. Thanks. Oh, yeah. Huh. Well, I mean, we're anticipating this trailer, you know. The trailer in the name of episode 9 should be coming out soon, sometime.
They've already announced it will not be at the Super Bowl.
Though. Oh, okay.
What? Right.
Yeah.
I've heard as late as April is when we should expect the trailer. So when there is a new trailer, expect Chris, Nick, and I to get back together into the barbecue and grill up some.
Get the band back together.
Hey, speaking of Super Bowl commercials, do you like the fact that they released some of them early?
No, they should be a surprise.
That's the only reason for people to watch.
I think it's bullshit. I know why they do it, to get extra free publicity.
Yeah. And then I just found out today that Maroon 5 is the halftime show. I was like, didn't they just do it like a few years ago? I was like, God, it's like, well, might as well add Coldplay in there too, and we can have a snooze fest.
They were struggling to get people to do it. Yeah. I would have gone with Nick.
Guy in his ukulele playing 30 seconds of each song. You know,
it's Rebel Cast version song.
That's all you get. You just get the first verse of every song. That's it. Sorry, guys. Tapped out.
Man, he's not even playing his best ones. No.
He's holding out.
Yeah. look at the. I got one bottle rocket off to my right for the pyro section.
you could have a wardrobe malfunction too. That would work, wouldn't it? If you really want to make it good.
God, that'd be hilarious. Like, I mean, it wouldn't have to be me, just anybody. Like, just some random guy off the street comes in, like he's got just a bar stool there in the middle of the 50-yard line, like in a ukulele, just, hey, what's up, guys?
You know, I think most people.
My name's Nick. I'll be playing Maroon 5 covers on my ukulele here.
That's interesting.
I honestly can't think of a freaking Maroon 5 song right now. I want to say Drops of Jupiter, but that's definitely not Maroon 5.
It's whamming out here.
Well, that's what I was doing. Was, you know, isn't that one Maroon 5? It's like, you know, she will be loved. Like in that Maroon
5. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I know the group, but I couldn't tell if I was on like the $64,000 question, that was it, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck, I don't it. I lose. I don't know. Go ahead and make fun of me. I don't know.
It's just one of those bands like a lot of them, they just write songs in safe chords that everybody will sing along to, that they're really not anything special. But because it's like Hootie and the Blowfish, which I don't have anything against Hootie and the Blowfish, but that was the argument in 96 that like they're writing traditional songs the way everyone has written them throughout time. So there's nothing really original about the band, but they make catchy tunes. And that's what Maroon 5 does.
Well, they're really a sequel band because, you know, Maroon 1, 2, 3, and 4.
That's true. That's true.
Never really had the commercial success.
No, they didn't.
But were more creative, you know, so.
Well, they took time to learn.
Yeah. You know, I like Red 5, you know, that's a better color.
Red 5?
Yeah. I like Johnny 5.
He's alive, at least. Gives a pulse.
I just don't know. I mean, I have, like you said, I have nothing against him. If the song's on, I probably have heard their music, but when I heard that was the halftime show, I went, fucking Spanos. He was probably in charge of the halftime show.
Well, it gives people a reason to go get their beer. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I like it when they bring the classic guy. Like, you know, I know like Bruce Springsteen, that the Who on there before. And that's what I would rather.
That's what I was thinking today. Just with all
about Journey?
Well, with the whole Bohemian Rhapsody being nominated for Best Picture and all that, I was thinking about that. I was like, God, can you imagine if Freddie Mercury was still alive today, Queen doing the halftime show? Like how epic that would be of them closing out with We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions. Like people would just be like on their feet, just like, yeah!
There'd be one guy bitching on Twitter. I want to bring back Lil Whammy. I don't like Queen.
Little Whammy?
Little Whammy.
It's like Little Wing or, you know, something like that.
I don't know. But, yeah, Maroon 5, it's like...
Well, that's what I mean. There's just no artist today that
Boston ever? I mean, it seems like a perfect fit for, you know, New England.
The Patriots, yeah. I think they play Boston they play a song from Boston at every Patriots game, don't they? I hear it on the kickoff sometimes.
They're in every other Super Bowl. Why haven't they booked them yet?
Just Smoking. That's all I play is Smoking.
Well, the lead singer's no longer with us. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
But I think, like, I think, you know, I know the Journey, because Journey's popular with the kids and the older people. So I think that would be a good group. I don't know. Better than Maroon 5. Come on.
It's true. That's what I've had this debate with a lot of people, because can you think of an artist or a band, I mean, an album or a song that everyone has liked, really, really commercially liked in the last 20 years, and there's not that many of them. And because we're no longer in a radio-driven society where it's like, oh, the top 40 radio, it's all about, it's a digital world, so you can, it's like your news or anything else, you can cater your music to exactly your tastes, and so there's no longer such like hits to where everyone's like, oh, I know Queen, or I know Led Zeppelin. It's just like, no, like, I've never heard of that band.
I know Maroon 5.
Yeah. And it's strange to think that.
I never thought about that, Nick. Good point. Very good point. I don't. It just seems they could have done better than Rune 5, but I guess we're there to watch the game, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'll be rooting for the Rams, by the way.
Me too.
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I actually watched.
Actually, Jack, could you root for the Patriots, please?
Yes, please, please root for the Patriots.
I personally, I don't care. I don't care who wins, but I need the Rams to win so they secure the fight for LA just to stick it to Spanos.
Sherry wants bread to reunite to do the halftime show.
Bread?
Bread, you know. Yeah. Baby, I'm going to want you. Baby, I'm going to need you. Like, it's all like easy listening stuff, you know.
I'll get off on the fourth floor, please.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, like Guitar Man, they've got some hits, but they're all mellow.
Well, they gave Bruno Mars back. That was a good one.
Yeah. It's true.
Justin Timberlake, I think I remember seeing him do one. That was the past Seahawks.
He did last year, didn't he?
Last year. And
was it last year?
Yeah, because he did. Because, like, you know, he did it with Janet Jackson, which is the controversy, and then came back.
A lot of people didn't like it.
Which one?
The last one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the last few of them have been boring as hell.
They didn't. Well, they did with Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. They were critical because they felt that he was lost in the woods.
Ooh.
Good one. That's what I heard, you know? I mean, that's
good one.
Not my words.
There was one probably about a decade ago, or at least a decade, maybe 15 years ago, when was it the Rolling Stones?
Yeah. I do remember. I mean,
they did, because like Paul McCartney did in 02. Like, there was a period there, like, or in the 2000s, where it was all just classic rock.
Bands. They had the Who.
U2.
Yeah, U2, The Who.
Wasn't Aerosmith there?
I want to say, probably.
I don't know. I there's a billion groups, but I know a lot of them boycotted it because they don't like the NFL policies. Mm. That's why Goodell should be fired. She been fired a long time ago.
Sherry, who you mean by
Goodell?
Michael
is the worst.
Michael,
he's terrible. Michael Jackson?
Yeah, so that when she says Michael's half time is the best, like, you Michael Jackson? Who's when you talking about Michael? Michael who? There's lots of Michaels. Michael Bublé.
Oh, Michael Bublé, yeah.
Lady Michael Gaga. Jackson halftime show would have been good, though.
A Michael Jackson halftime show?
I think it would have been entertaining. Because that's really what I think. I think of Michael Jackson as an entertainer, not really as a musician, because he wasn't a musician. You know, he didn't write many songs. You know, but he was a great artist, but just not like a musician. I don't know, that's a debate to have.
Hmm. He's talented. But
yeah. I mean, even Quincy Jones, though, he knocked him in an article like a year ago talking about how, like, he was a bit of an asshole. Like, because he's
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones was at, you know, because he produced Off the Wall and Thriller, and that's what he's talking about. He was like, yeah, he was thinking, and he was like naming songs. He's like, yeah, like, this song was co-written with Michael with this person, but Michael took all the credit and refused to give him. It's like, he's like, he's just a dick, you know. He's like, he's like, you don't do that stuff.
Was this article written by Jay?
Yeah, no, it should have been written by Jay.
Because every famous person's an asshole, according to Jay.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sherry brings up Michael did do a halftime show, and yeah, it was back in the 90s, wasn't it? Is that what Sherry's talking about? Maybe. Michael Jackson?
Was it during like the mid-90s, like around?
Yeah,
the,
it was during like Black or White.
Was it that early? Wow, I was thinking maybe Scream era, but okay.
Yeah, I want to say that. I mean, it's ringing some bells. But
was
I mean,
that the year the Chargers went to the Super Bowl? Because halftime, I was still crying. I'm just happy to be here. Doesn't matter.
At least you won the conference.
Yeah. Screw you, Pittsburgh.
Anyway. And Jana brings up George Michael would have been one of my choices back in the day, which, Jana, I don't know if you're just joining us, but we had a whole Wham discussion. So
Arrested Development?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. George Michael doing covers.
With Nick.
With me and George Michael.
So, yeah, no, Sherry brings up, yeah, early 90s. So there's a whole Wikipedia article about I think Up With People holds the record for the most like Super Bowl performances or something. Like Up With People like had a lot in the early days and
the 60s.
You know, the 60s. That predates the Super Bowl. So,
you know, the first Super Bowl was televised on two stations, two networks. NBC and ABC, or CBS and ABC hosted the because it was two different it was the AFC and the NFC. or NFL and the AFL.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was before they combined.
I think AFL was ABC and probably was CBS. I don't know. One of the they both televised it, and it was at the Coliseum. I don't even think it was a sellout. So that's how far it's come, where now it's such an event. You go there just not for the game. You go there just for the and where the tickets are what ridiculously priced now. I mean, it's just
I remember
$1,000.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, you know, like they were saying, like, oh, Super Bowl tickets are $500 this year. And you're like, damn. Of course, when you're a kid, you think that's a lot of money. But people would dream for $500 now.
Yeah, that's a lot of Legos, man. That's like two Lego sets.
Yeah.
Well, the Super Bowl was held in San Diego 3 times. And people go, hey, did you go to the game? I go, I have kids. What do you say? I don't have the money to go to the damn game. It was so expensive to go to the game.
My boss was telling me, though, because his nephew he plays for the Titans, that every single player in the NFL gets 2 tickets to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So what do they bitch about? No, they always complain about their contracts and stuff. 2 tickets to the NFL. But no, I think a lot of them just sell them.
Yeah, that's what he was doing. He's selling them because they're $2,500 a piece.
That's crazy.
So, Sherry, what do you think Nick's eating right now?
Can you hear it? Sorry.
I just thought, you know, since you're eating, you know,
let's guess.
Have that, like,
audience attendance is what is Nick eating?
It's
right?
It looks like it's a cookie. It looks it's a.
I'm not asking you, Jack.
Chris, you were down. Chris, it looked like you were down the. My Siri keeps popping up for no apparent reason. But Chris, it looks like you were down the web surfing rabbit hole there. What you got for us?
Yeah, sorry about that. So I was just doing a little research because I have actually seen a Super Bowl halftime show live and in person.
Makes sense.
In the year 2000, I went to the Rams-Titans Super Bowl, and that was the last time the Super Bowl was produced by Disney. That was actually a pretty impressive Super Bowl. It was performances by Christina Aguilera, Phil Collins, and Enrique Iglesias, and Tony Braxton. And it was narrated by Edward James Olmos.
Really?
The Super Bowl?
It was like a 10-minute concert version of the Millennium Celebration with elements of the Reflection of Earth and Tapestry of Nations.
Wow.
Huh.
I don't remember any of it. I was drunk.
I think of
it. You're drinking that Disney beer, huh?
Mm-hmm. I think if the Pats go to the Super Bowl one more time, the halftime show needs to be young, drunk Boston man beats up elderly man.
Cashews.
Hey! No, it was not me. No, you cannot spread these rumors. I did not assault somebody. I got assaulted by a missed punch to the guy to my right who should have been hit. And he did.
Sure, the guy was 90 and you guys teamed up and beat him up. That's okay. You don't have to defend yourself.
Chris is getting more mad that you'd be like spreading these lies about him.
It's not true.
Nobody's listening. Nobody hears it. It's a joke.
I'd watch more if EJO provided.
Yeah, Edward James Olmos.
Oh, right, right.
Edward James Olmos.
It made me think. I was like, ELO would be a good halftime.
Yeah,
that's what I had ELO first read when Wintrust had posted that.
I think it's the receiver that can't catch the ball. His hands are stone.
Yeah, man. Exactly. I mean, they're back. They're touring now, so it would have been a nice move to see ELO, because, I mean, they are a classic band that doesn't get enough credit, and it would have been a kick-ass halftime show. Really tired of Nick bashing on Titans Oilers. Sorry, Janice, but it's just the truth.
We are the Titans, a mighty, mighty Titans.
I'm not saying I hate the Titans. I'm just pointing out that they lost it in the Super Bowl. And that the Oilers are good.
Yeah, I was right above that last play.
How do you remember?
Just kidding.
How do you know? You were drunk.
Yeah, I was.
I had a chance for one.
But
I had tickets lined up for it was Warm Taffy and myself. The Chargers were in the AFC Championship game. I think it was the Raiders. Whatever it was. The game was in Detroit. We had tickets lined up. We had plane tickets. We had a hotel. When the Chargers lost us, we said, fuck it. We're not going. I'll go to another Super Bowl. What am I, almost 90? Never been to a Super Bowl. Still should have went to the fucking Super Bowl.
Well, we all have our regrets, you know. Yeah. So
I regret doing this podcast a lot, but that's okay.
Jeez. Stop messaging us, though. I mean, like, we've got other things we could be doing, you know. We just
hey, someone's got to be the bad guy. When do you guys want to record?
Oh man, he's making us work.
We're just gonna get insulted. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. we gotta pull Chris out of beating up this old guy.
Well, you know,
who are you talking to, old guy? Yeah, you're tough, huh? When you gotta get your teeth pulled out.
You know how to stop Chris from beating up some old guy?
Throws up.
Just throw Google in front of him. So you can do research on stuff. Because, you know, we lose Chris every episode for about 10, 15 minutes.
That's I like
it. But
like
then, he brings back some facts, though.
Yeah.
So
he did. I like that's what Nick should talk, though. That's what Nick should talk.
I should have a story prepared
whenever
he freezes up, like just a good 3-minute rant.
I think he's actually frozen right now, guys.
I think he is.
Like, he got some of that Hoth weather.
I don't think. Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Whamming.
I like it, Darcy. Nick playing the ukulele while Chris beats up an old guy. I like it. That's the halftime show right there. It's like a Spanish-style ukulele where I'm just like violently strumming, just, I don't know, just something where it's just building the tension.
And then Chris afterwards says, I don't remember anything. I was drunk.
Yeah, I was drunk. Ah!
And the old guy is played by Clint Eastwood.
I'm not going to let Chris beat up Clint Eastwood. I'm going to step
worry.
In.
I don't like worry. Chris, Clint Eastwood is not going to let Chris beat up.
you guys hear, so there's some kind of like some rumor going around about Clint Eastwood, you know, with Mick Jagger's ex, you know. By the way, Mick Jagger's ex is like 23 and he's like 70-something. Like,
so
that's like crazy.
I thought Clint Eastwood was married.
Yeah, I think it's just click fodder bait. So
okay,
yeah.
Oh look, there's that guy from Providence. He's back.
He's shaking his head. He knows what we said about him.
Oh, no, I don't have anything. Said about me. But
well, you have to listen to the podcast.
There was. I don't know if you guys saw it. I saw it. I thought it was hilarious. One of our listeners happened to be in Boston and stopped in at Chris's place of work.
Yeah.
But Chris was not there.
I was in Providence.
And he was in Providence.
Wait, I know the truth of this. Chris was hiding in the back.
No, so from time to time, I do have to travel back and forth between a couple different locations, and I happen to not be in my normal place when she arrived, which is for shame. That would be really cool.
Yeah. But I just love that you owned up to it because it was so hilarious. And then your response was like, I was in Providence.
I couldn't make it up. That's exactly what happened. But no, that was cool. Angela, next time we'll meet up. We'll get a coffee.
We'll get a coffee.
Yeah, well, that's what I do. I'm known for getting, like, even today when it was if it were colder, but tomorrow it would be like 7 degrees and I'm at work. I'm known for getting iced coffee. That's just,
you're the coffee guy.
It's what we do in New England. We're assholes. We drink iced coffee in sub freezing temperatures.
Well, I mean, I think right now in the Midwest, every coffee will be iced coffee.
You know, hi-yo. Hey, so I had a quick story update I wanted to share. Throwing back here, probably a bunch of episodes ago, Nick, remember our whole Tostitos salsa verde conversation, which brings back my truth be told. Now,
that could be a good halftime show.
Ever since that conversation, I had this problem where every time I walk into a store, I don't normally buy chips and those types of snacks. It's not something I go grocery shopping for. But confession, real time confession. I legitimately walk down the aisle of the chips every time I go to the store with the shred of hope that I'm going to be there on the day they have like a release of like a limited edition Salsa Rio Dorito.
Yeah.
And it never happens.
You got the life, man.
It never happens. It never, ever happens. So I emailed them.
Oh, yes. Nice.
And so my original message sent to him said, hello, PepsiCo and Team Dorito. I would love nothing more than if you could bring back the best flavor of all time. Mm-hmm. I need Salsa Rio in my life. Please tell me that Jay Leno didn't lie to me as a child. I crunched all I could, but you didn't make more. Please bring them back. And I got a response within a bit. It says, "Hi, Chris. Thank you for writing. We hear you. We're so glad to know that one of our past products reached your favorite snack list. We understand each brand and or flavor will end up being a front runner for someone. We wish we could carry them all. Regrettably, some snacks must be discontinued in order to make room for new ideas and the ever-changing market demand."
Bullshit.
We will gladly note your interest as a loyal fan of Doritos Salsa Rio and will share your request to bring it back with the brand team. Thanks again for reaching out to us. I'm mailing a coupon to you and hope that one of our other snacks will satisfy your taste buds.
How much was the coupon for, by the way?
Dude, I don't know. I don't even remember giving my address, so I think they're full of shit.
Can I translate that email for you?
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Fuck you, Chris. It's just a fucking chip.
We haven't made those chips in 25 years.
Yeah, get a fucking life, dude. Are we
a fucking chip just for you? Fucking asshole. Oh, man. An old man.
I figured, hey, why not? I mean, I guess it's worth a shot. We'll see what happens.
I mean, it's like Dear Chris, are you a millennial? Because you seem to be all about you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's true, though. Like I've said that, like, episodes, like, if you write in sometimes, they will fucking do it. And it's like Colleen had never had the Planters cheese balls until I brought it up on the podcast. Jay got some, and now she's addicted to them. And so they came back on Amazon again about 2 weeks ago. For $2 a can, so I got another shipment of them. So I'm good for a while now.
They have a whole case in their pantry, and I've babysat their kids a few times, and not once, have I said, "Hey, go ahead and get a can for yourself."
Hey, not once. You know what?
I've
met Jay and Colleen, and I'll just say that Colleen's been addicted to one cheese ball for a long time.
Hello.
I don't want that cheese ball, but you think once they'd say, "Hey, thanks for coming over here and watching our kids. You gave them a bath. You do all this different stuff. You put them in bed. Hey, here's some Planters cheese balls. Here's a pack. Here's a little container of them. A 4-ounce container of Planters cheese balls."
If they really piss you off at some point, Jack, just be like, "Hey, I want to watch the kids." And go in there and eat every can of cheese balls and drink everything of Ecto Cooler. High C Hecto coolers of Jay's.
And I don't want Jay to have a stroke.
That's what I mean.
I wouldn't do that. But the cheese ball, maybe I could do is poke a hole in it and they'd be all be still.
Oh, that's even crueler.
Kind of like my French fries. Not French fries.
Your pretzels.
My pretzels. I can no longer eat because Sherry complained about it.
I did hear your glass in that drink.
Oh, did you?
So I'm writing a response back to Tina.
Tina, fuck you.
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's what I was about to say too. Is that I sometimes because like there's definitely some chips that I can't get out here, like just regular Fritos barbecue. They're not in California, but there's other things we have because I know like every time I see Doritos taco, I think of Jack because Jack can't get them and Jack loves taco.
Can't get them out here.
Yeah,
once in a blue moon.
And then there's other stuff too, like you can get out here that's like, "Oh, that's really good." Now, but I know that you won't be able to get it in the East Coast. And it's like Illyrio from Montreal loves Cool Ranch Doritos, but you can't get those in Canada.
Truth. Yeah, those are like gold to Illyrio. He will trade you pounds of coffee crisp for them. Trust me.
I would trade him ketchup chips.
There you go.
Or Cool Ranch Doritos. I'm not a big Cool Ranch Dorito fan. I mean, I'll eat them, but they're not like my favorite.
So I responded to Tina. I said, hold on, where the hell is it? Oh, damn it. It was a good response.
I don't know. That sounded like a duck fart.
It did. Said, Tina, thank you for your response. Looking forward to the coupon, but I will say, that if you somehow get this message in front of the right person and make my childhood memories come back, you'll make this run-on sentence writing Salsa Rio fan very happy and be on his, quote, favorite customer service representative list.
All the best. The response is, let this fucking guy go away?
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Address not found. Apparently, you can't reply that email address.
Oh, no. Damn it! That was
I had to do another
classic.
Oh, dude, she wrote me off. It wasn't. It's not her. It's me. Not me. It's her.
You know, the coupon would be for like 10 cents off too.
Yeah.
Here's your free bag.
Here's your free bag of those fucking chips you put in kids' lunchboxes for 25 cents.
No, that'd be worse. It would be like buy two get 50 cents off. Yeah. And I was like, what? I gotta buy two? God damn it.
Yeah,
I hate those.
Speaking of those, you made me think of it. So coupon? my little shitty kids bags that you get in those big ass bulk things. So in my building, because it's such a big, we have a would be essentially like a gas station type snack area, and somebody in charge of those went and bought just a crap ton of those kids bags. And put them out like, oh, you can have this bag of chips, you can have this bag, you know, this kind of. But the thing is that you still have to scan them. There's no like teller. You have to scan them in this computer and then pay for them. But the thing is that those little bags don't have barcodes on them.
Right. It's like not for resale.
They're not for resale. So for like 2 weeks straight, everyone was just taking all this crap from the store because it's like, well, I can't pay for it. So I was like, it's free. Of course, we're going to get some hate mail now because it's stealing. But it's like, well, it's not my fault.
But is it stealing if you can't pay for it?
I couldn't pay for it because everyone was wanting to pay for it. It was like, well, what do we do? There's no one here to say, like, hey, here's $2. It's just like, well, I want my chips. What can
I do? Spoken like a true privileged individual.
Yeah. True.
You know, at my work, we just write it in as special. There's no barcode scanner. So we're pretty low tech there. So.
I know. Yeah. I haven't heard your receipt printer or whatever in a while, the beep.
Because I broadcast at home now.
Yeah.
Oh. So that's why I'm not. Well, if you notice from my background here.
Yeah, I'm a shitty person for those things. So, yeah.
It's okay. I know you can't see past my beautiful face.
I knew that. I knew that.
You knew that. No, I don't broadcast from work anymore. So, I don't have my credit card machine. So, those credit card machine drawings that went out there. I think one went to JP and one went to John. You know, now they're collectibles. Yeah, they're collector items, I guess. So
you better put it in plastic or something. Like that. under glass.
I just can't wait. Like when we're like really, really old, you know, and then someone puts on eBay.
Whoa!
I'm saying, hey, Jack, you're a young man, Jack. I'm just saying, I can't wait until someone puts on eBay circuit board from Chris's house, 2019, autographed. Because that thing's gonna be worth a fortune.
It is.
See, Kayla framed her pink taco. I bet you did.
So for all of those in the chat that are joining us, Chris has a circuit board from his heater. He'd be glad to mail that to you.
You're paying for shipping. This thing's gonna cost a fortune. It's worth so much money.
You can't just put a stamp on it.
No, if someone actually wants this, I would be glad to send it to them.
Wait, hold off. You give them the circuit board and the coupon for the chips.
No. Fuck you, Jack.
Yeah, he wrote in for that.
That's why I earned that fucking coupon.
Yeah, it's all about the listeners. I thought.
But to be fair, I haven't seen it yet, so I think that Tina's full of shit. But
you know, there is no Tina. It's just an automated response.
Right.
Random name generator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is Tina.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this guy's from New England, so we got to think of a name that's going to be regional. So let's just go with Tina.
What if it was
Tina? We're going to get some coffee later. Yeah.
If she was some boss, she'd be like Tina Lynn.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah. What if it flips the gender for whoever wrote in? Like if it's a female that writes in, it's a male that responds.
And yeah, it's like you probably shouldn't be eating so many fucking Doritos.
Look at you.
You know how many calories are in those things? Oh my God.
That is terrible for you. Yeah. Terrible.
I bet you
do yourself a favor. Just go down to Dunkies, get a nice coffee and a donut and shut the fuck up. How about that? Huh?
Eat responsibly.
They had a great board. I thought it was a funny SNL sketch the other day with what was the actor that they had on there that's Scottish?
The guy from Band of Brothers.
It was a bunch of
Yeah, exactly. The guy from Band of Brothers.
McAvoy.
Yeah, McAvoy. I don't know why I forgot his name. We talked about him in the last episode.
I know, that's why. That's why I said Band of Brothers and it would click with somebody.
I thought it was hilarious though because he's doing this really thick Scottish accent and he's an air traffic controller and he's trying to get the plane to land and they can't understand a single word that he's saying because it's so thick. It's pretty funny. So
we were playing years ago. We were playing Pictionary and this guy that used to work at the rink was from Australia. I think it's Australia. Still talk to him stuff like that, but. He had a very thick accent, and it was the guys versus the gals, and we were cheating. He's literally telling us the answer, but we didn't know what he was fucking talking about. It was nose job, and we kept saying blow job, blow job. He goes, no blow. I go, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. We were cheating, and they were getting mad at us. They're like, you're cheating. I go, are we cheating? Are we? We can't understand him. He doesn't come with captions. I don't know. He was a great guy, but he just had such a thick accent. I couldn't figure out what he was fucking talking. I go, slow down.
I want you to go kill all the golfers on the course. If I kill all the golfers, they'll throw me in jail and lock away the key. I say, golfers, not golfers.
Fucking limey bastard.
So this is a throwback. I think I mentioned this on a show a few weeks ago, but I posted this on my Facebook back in December, but is a post that said, someone just said that if you want to say Spice Girls
right.
in a Scottish accent, just say Space Ghettos in an American accent. I've been doing it and laughing for 5 minutes now. Space Ghettos.
Space Ghettos. Exactly. I died when I read that when you posted. I died for laughing forever about that.
It's the Space Ghettos.
Space Ghettos. Space Ghettos.
You want to be my lover, Space Ghettos.
It's true, though.
Now, why didn't they ever do a Super Bowl? I mean, that seemed like a nice fit.
They probably would have if they would have stayed together.
True,
that. I thought they were coming back.
They have toured a few times, yeah. But I think it's just I don't think Posh Spice, David Beckham's wife, ever tours with them. It's just the other four.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to tour in Scotland? Because that'd be amazing.
Going to go see the Space Ghettos.
Honestly, if the Space Ghettos, we should just do a live Ramblecast from Edinburgh and just be like, "Hey, we have a Space Ghettos."
The Space Ghettos.
It would just be an hour of that, though.
I thought we were too. I thought we were going to tour.
It would be great. So Nick's halftime show is Nick singing ukulele in a Scottish accent while Chris beats up an old man. I think we got gold.
Which is Jack dressed up like Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood, yeah.
So
I'm not as tall as Clint Eastwood, but actually I might be now though. He seems to be.
He's
drinking. What? Yeah. I'm just saying.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, you know we all shrink. We all shrink,
especially in this cold, frigid Midwestern floor. I
was in the pool.
Nice.
So we're eating, you guys. When you see the Arctic vortex coming down, my immediate thought was the day after tomorrow when you see like these huge like hurricane like things coming down and just like I'm like, oh my god, like people in Wisconsin are gonna freeze instantly.
You talking about the movie Day After Tomorrow?
Yeah, the movie Day After Tomorrow with Dennis Quaid. The Day After Tomorrow with Dennis Quaid came out like 2001.
Yeah, people were posting that as a meme on Tuesday before it arrived. They were posting it and just crossed out the day after tomorrow and just put tomorrow.
Yeah.
So in preparation. So
how clever.
It's actually really like for those that are in the Midwest, you could almost kind of tell who was trapped in the polar vortex because they were on social media nonstop for the last like 72 hours. So
I get it. I'm sorry. Just don't breathe deep when you're outside, but we understand it's cold.
I have enjoyed looking at some of these, like just advisories on Facebook.
It's cold outside.
A friend of mine did post that. Who was a woman?
Baby shouldn't go outside. But
the weather's so privileged.
I'm sorry, I just thought of it, but it's...
Like I said, a friend of mine had posted about that, actually, so...
Those Ramblecast guys are dicks.
You know, we're really not. We're probably for the most
sensitive and earnest.
Yeah.
You know, care.
Not, but that doesn't matter to everybody. So fuck them.
I care. That's okay.
I'm even more sensitive now that I use this Gillette. You know, I shaved off my mustache. And,
but is that the thing?
You did it too soon, Matt, because now you're all going to be chafed from the cold. You know?
I know, right? I was really regretting that. So yeah. I was like, man, I should have kept it on just a couple more months longer.
No
so.
Regrets, dude. No regrets.
There's a Twitter feed I follow. What's it called? Darwin Awards. And there's one where this lady's trying to capture a cat with like a chair or something. She has some kind of thing that she's trying to capture this cat. The cat jumps all over the place and attacks her. I've been trying to copy it to send it to you, Matt, because it cracks me up every time I see it. She's trying to capture the cat, and the cat just bounces all over the place and then attacks her from behind. Ah! I don't know if that brings back bad memories.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I just was having flash forwards to like someday in the far, 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 far future when I die. There's going to be a bunch of people on social media that'll be like, remember when Matt was attacked by a cat? Oh, yeah, that was the best.
That's what you'll be remembered for, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'll tell you, though, that is one of the finest moments of Ramblecast lore is when you sign on and you look like Hannibal fucking Lecter with shit on your face. And I look, and it was just like, I tried for that brief moment of like composure. And I was just like,
it would have been better if you guys just started recording immediately.
We have to address this. Yes.
I was thinking Chinatown myself. Jack Nicholson in Chinatown.
I totally would have taken Jack Nicholson from Chinatown. But yeah, it was
rough. Yeah, Matt. So we're concerned for your safety.
We have what happened? To get hit by a bus or a truck come by through or. Were you at a football game with Chris and you thought you were old? What happened? A cat attacked me.
I still have a lot of flashbacks? What's that?
Flashbacks.
Okay, I thought I heard something different, and that was even more disturbing. But I thought you said hot sex. So, but anyway,
I'll say flashbacks. I am Scottish.
It is,
exactly.
It is global.
It's fucking
flashbacks. I'm talking hot sex.
It's the fucking space ghettos.
Yeah, space girls. That's what I want. No, like every time I pick up meowsers, I always kind of like treat him with a little bit more, like you know, like yeah, you could take my nose. I understand that.
You could rip my eyes out.
Yeah.
Here's a treat.
He's been a super sweet cat though lately. Like I don't know what's changed it. Like he's been very needy and affectionate. So
he's a cat.
He feels guilty.
It's been enough time. So I think the main thing though after that was that I had to realize that because the cat and I had to make amends, and there was a moment where I realized that the cat still thought that it was my fault. You know, like.
So the cat's not taking the blame for the whole
thing. Right, yeah, no, definitely. So, and so I kind of had to make amends with the cat. You know, like I had to get over the fact that he attacked me. So it's a very one-sided situation.
You're a bigger man than most.
In your opinion, he attacked you. Yeah.
He's saying self-defense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, Chris, I am trying to cat-splain this.
You're not supposed to reveal what I put in the chat.
It's some of the funniest shit that happens in our private chat, for those that don't know.
There's a code here, man. This is a circle of trust, man. We're the trust tree. You can't reveal the dark secrets of the chat.
That was funny. That was hilarious.
It was pretty good.
Okay. Well,
it's going to end up on a podcast. So
that's what I was going to say. Is like what Matt's saying that is like, because these podcasts, even going all the way back to Dale, are out there on the internet for forever.
Yeah, that could be a good thing or a terrible thing.
Exactly. But can you imagine, like, we're 80 years old, and then for some small group of teenagers happens to stumble upon me, and they're like, dude, you're Matt, dude. Like, you got attacked by Mausers. Like,
that cat kicked your ass.
Yeah, like,
The Saigon Whore.
Oh my God.
You need to rename your cat to Saigon Whore now.
No, it is my daughter's cat. I am not renaming it. That is pretty much off limits. But, you know, for everybody in the podcast.
Saigon Whore that bit off my nose.
For the podcasting, you know, family, yes. You guys can know Meowsers as such. But my daughter will not know.
Episode title, Matt in the Saigon Whore.
No. I thought we were cats playing. This and talking about little whamming. So
well, I think
we should just call it whamming. Whamming Spice Girls.
The Whamming Spice Girls.
That's pretty suggestive there. No,
it's the whamming Space Ghettos.
But it's really warming. Spice Girls. And you know what spice warms me the most?
The one from Dune.
You got me there, yeah. It is the spice melange. It gives me the best. Put that in all my chili. So it's right after the cumin goes in.
Oh man, there's something in my seltzer tonight. I don't know what's going on.
Oh my God, we got the pepper,
we got the chili powder.
Oh my God, funny.
Anyway.
You mentioned The Married Man Show, which was with Warm Taffy. I found out last week, might have been a week ago today, that Warm Taffy got married again.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Now found out?
I saw it on Facebook.
Huh.
And because his wife, Kim, posted on Facebook, I go, huh.
God.
So I sent him a message saying, I almost said to him, I said, you know, you've been married 3 times. And I've not been invited to any of the weddings. So if this one fails, you know, it's because you never invite me to your wedding. But I didn't say that. I said, hey, congratulations, stuff like that. But it just, I didn't even know he got married.
I would have sent him a box of shit and been like, here's a fucking present.
Is this his third wedding?
Yeah.
He claims
so he's one divorce, one pot of coffee and a coffee table away from becoming Matt Foley.
I was trace divorced.
Yeah, I said he's happy, so you know it's good. But I
Kimmy's great. I've met her, yeah. And she's really, really nice.
Super nice.
So,
people go, hey, he got married. I go, I know, but I wasn't there. I've never been to any of his weddings, though. Any of them.
And you know how many married man shows he was like, I'm never getting married again. I'm never doing that again.
Yep. Well, he only claimed one because he said the second one didn't count. I go,
that's true.
You're married like 3 years. It counts.
Well, he was caught in a bear trap.
Well, yeah, that was his own. He stepped in it on purpose.
The only story I remember of Warm Taffy's is him having sex on the hood of his car. And then like the police or the border patrol helicopter being over him with the helicopter. Light. Yeah. That's the only that's always stuck in my mind because I can totally see that happening.
And they dented the hood. And they dented the hood of the car.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
When I think of Warm Taffy, all I can think about is him bitching about his Moto Guzzi motorcycle.
I don't even know if he still has it.
I didn't even know Moto Guzzi was a motorcycle.
I'm still just trying to like wash out the memory of what a Q-tip used for. Yeah. So.
Yeah. There were some things that were quick. You'd go. Oh, I'd be sitting across from going.
Jana just did it perfectly with the trap thing. Like,
yes,
caught in a trap, he can't go out. It's like that's so great, Jana. Nice.
That could be next song.
Could be, but you know, I don't know how many people would get the Warm Taffy reference though.
Caught in a ramble cast.
Sorry to do the King.
Yeah, I know it's. A lot of vowels there.
I can't say anything without Boston jumping in.
Or tapping on the mic.
This is a mic check. How are my AirPods? I can't believe I broke this board. Fucking bored.
Oh, Kayla just called it out. She said, bye, Jack. And I'm like, is Kayla leaving? But no, Jack left us. So
Oh, did he? Oh, he did. He froze. Yeah, we did back now.
I believe.
Temporarily.
Kicked out.
I do believe that that is a one of the stipulations in which you have to drink in the Ramblecast drinking game is if one of us gets booted from the show.
And that was I.
Well, you're guaranteed at least 3 or 4 drinks from me.
And I think there's another one. I think every time you interrupt me is another drink.
Mm-hmm.
As long and you have to chug for any time I sing.
And we're not responsible for anyone gets alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. Please.
Just want to make that clear. Drink responsibly. Please.
Well, Janet, don't feel bad. You're out of wine. I'm out of beer. So, and I'm drinking from my Leia cup tonight. So.
Janet's out of wine.
Yeah.
I lost the chat. Where did man?
Well,
I did get a review. Does anyone want to hear the review?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm glad that we got one. We hadn't had one in a while. And you know how you have to have at least 4 reviews to get the stars to be the rating to be put up on the feed. So
is that what it is?
Yeah, because we had 3 reviews for forever, and then we got our 4. So now we're a 5-star rated podcast.
Oh, sick!
We're like a nice restaurant where you can get a pork chop.
Yeah, we've got beds and a jacuzzi.
Said no one ever for the pork chop. great choice of cups and koozies. Exactly. So okay, this is from. This is from Gottman, so I assume it's from Dave Gott, maybe. Listening to the RCAD is always a good time.
Oh,
from the first notes of the ukulele introduction, you are transported into a slightly odd world of 4 dudes who offer their opinions on sports, TV, movies, music, and anything else that pops into their heads. It is never quite certain where the discussion may end up or how long the podcast will run. Their freewheeling style makes the podcast unpredictable and entertaining. Highly recommend. Warning, though, this podcast may be unsuitable for anyone that likes Dean Spanos.
That's outstanding. Thanks, Gott. Appreciate the review, man. That's awesome.
I hope that's
Dean Spanos.
I hope that's from David Gott. I have more than just a drawing for David Gott.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Does Mausers know?
Shit just got weird.
Shit just got weird.
This is a Saigon Horno.
I have a lot more for David Gott.
Wait till you see what I got in store for Mr. Gott.
Just open up the box. No, if it is David though, I've been working on a commission piece from him. He commissioned me last summer. I haven't told you guys about this.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, now that you've gotten that far, you might as well finish it.
Yeah, I know. I need to finish the painting.
He commissioned you for some artwork last summer?
Yes, he did.
Dude, sweet turnaround time, Matt.
Thanks. Actually, I put on the final touches.
Would definitely be there done by, 2020.
No, he was very patient with me. He knew I was trying to get it done before my classes started, and then classes started, and it tends to be a very busy time for me when I'm teaching and running a business.
You did have the nose injury, so that's related.
No, that was way, way before. That was in the spring.
Well, what are you painting?
I am painting, Brian.
You keep looking up, so why don't you spin the camera around?
I don't know if I can reach it to get to that point. So, because I'm tethered quite a bit here. So let me see if I can do this here real quick. For everyone listening, this is my basement here. Wow. Off in the distance there, can you see it? I don't know. Where is it at?
What are we looking for?
Let's see. Where is it at?
There's definitely paintings. I just don't.
Yeah, there are some paintings over there. Let's see. Where am I at here? That's not it. Oh, it's the one to the right there of that's kind of football play. I know it's hard to see.
With the yellow?
With the yellow. So it's kind of to the right of my.
Jim McMahon? Walter Payton?
No. So, Jack, you had mentioned Brian's song the other day.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Brian.
I still cry when I hear it. I'm sorry.
So it's Brian Piccolo. So wow.
Well, that's very cool.
So 2 Chicago Bear players.
So it's James Caan.
Yeah, I painted James Caan.
Okay.
No, no, I didn't paint James Caan. So, but anyway, I wish I could get a better. Williams. No, it's not Billy Dee Williams.
No, Billy Dee Williams played Gale Sayers.
Lando. Yeah, no. What did you say?
I said Lando.
So anyway, David Gott has commissioned me for that, and I actually was putting the final touches on it over my winter break, and waiting for it to dry so that I could get it shipped out to him. So
now when you're doing a painting, I interrupt you, but I thought you were Nick for a second. When you're doing a painting, you could actually stop and do another painting, even though you haven't finished that painting.
Yeah. Well, it's best if I'm painting a couple paintings at the same time so that, so actually the other painting that was next to it that I was showing, I have some skiers that are kind of dealing with some global warming issues. Global whamming issues there. It's the skier painting. If I wasn't tethered to my internet, I would walk over there with my
laptop. Now the skiers, are they skiing on rocks?
No, they're skiing on snow. It's just there's just a lot of red and warm colors in this skier painting. But typically, if I'm working on a painting where it's a little bit more focused and I get so far into the painting, it's nice to have a second painting that I can jump into and I can be a little bit more free with. You know, it gets me warmed up. And so then I can jump in and do a little bit more refinement work on the piece that I'm trying to finish up. So.
Now, most artists, are you typical of an artist, or do most artists do one painting at a time, and or they just do like...
No artist is the same. We're all like snowflakes, you know. Okay. We're really sensitive and we melt.
Because I would have guessed that you finish a painting and then you move on to your next creative design.
Yeah, no, it's a lot more organic than that. So we're, you know, you're kind of working on a couple different things at the same time. So while I was working on that painting, I had a second painting going so that I would, like I said, just experiment. I could be a little bit more free and kind of you know, warm up on one and then move to the other one. But over winter break, I was finishing up David's painting there for him, and I went with more fall colors because after he had seen my Super Bowl paintings and actually had commissioned me for these two players specifically, because after I did the Super Bowl paintings back in 2012, I got really tired of painting grass green. So it's like it dominates like the whole like image. There's just a lot of green, and it gets kind of, I don't know, it just gets kind of repetitive. And so,
well, for him, Chicago in the wintertime, the grass isn't green.
Yeah, sometimes it's white.
Brown. It's like brown.
Well, for his, it's kind of this burnt sienna color. It's kind of a red, you know, like a almost like a you know, like a Chinese orange or what have you. But it's but for his though, I wanted the colors to be more autumn colors. So I started off with yellows, reds, orange and browns to kind of symbolize like fall, because that's one of the things about football that I love, is like when fall rolls around and there's something about that Christmas in the air and being like, yeah, it's time to watch some football. It's Sunday, you know, and I don't know. So
I don't know. I don't have a team, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't know what that feeling's
unless
like
you're
anymore.
A Cowboys fan.
So anyway, the colors on his field, though, I didn't go with green because I wanted, and I thought that the orange would complement the blue of the jerseys. So, anyway, so
what's his drawing going to be for his review?
Are
you like half of it, and it's going to take like 5-6 months to finish it.
A thank you card.
I don't mean to put print, because usually you're drawing as we're.
I know, and I had been doodling for the most of the night. I just wasn't really happy with a lot of my doodles tonight. Sorry, guys. I was doodling. I usually have a couple things going. I was trying to work on a champagne bottle, but that just kept falling apart. Sorry, Sherry. So
Sherry doesn't get her champagne bottle.
No, sorry, you don't get your champagne bottle. So I was working on that specifically, but they just. I'm not even going to show those. So, but I did show off a moon piece from last week's show, which we didn't have a giveaway for. I don't mind passing that along to a listener.
That's what you posted on the Patreon page.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did. Yes. So, it was this one of the moon, and then I also had this cool spirally one, which is a little bit more abstract. So, because sometimes I just doodle while we draw. I doodle while we podcast. Sorry.
Doodle while we draw.
Sometimes I just do really weird abstract stuff too that just makes no sense.
So what do you like doing better? Do you like doing like a portrait type thing, like a theme, or do you like just doing abstract, just kind of out there type stuff?
You mean for painting or for drawing?
For painting, your paint. Yeah, like what comes to you most? Is like, is it okay?
I'm probably more of a realist painter than an abstract painter. So I tend to like imagery that's a little bit more representational. But within the realm of realism, I'm not a photorealist. I tend to leave things somewhat loose, not necessarily unfinished, but just not completely rendered in a completely photorealistic manner. Because if you want a photo, just, you know, shoot a photo and there you go.
Well, that last one you showed that was abstract. That's like, it looked similar to like a dolly, you know, and that's into what I like too, because like you can look at it and you know exactly what it is, but it's completely different. You know, like it's not what you're saying. It's not like a photo. It's like, oh, it's slightly skewed or melted with dolly, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to start with something and then just kind of either I have something that I'm basing it off of, but this series was specifically based off of just doing a circle and trying to abstract it in some type of a way. So, but it just depends. So, and my sketchbook is other stuff, but when I go to paint, I tend to like try to come up with an image or a palette of colors that I'm using. So. I didn't mean to get into art talk, but you guys.
That's fine. We kept talking about it.
It is ramble.
It is ramble. I just feel weird talking about it because it's.
Well, it's weird to you, but it's interesting to us because I can't paint.
You know what I like about this conversation, though? Mm. No one has interrupted you.
Maybe that's why I feel awkward.
Yeah, maybe.
Nick, maybe you should talk about art more.
I should talk about art. Yeah. you know, like when I was in first grade, I totally got like the blue ribbon for this, like this line I drew. It was really, I was really concentrating. It was just like a red line.
Now, I will say this. One thing that I tell a lot of, because I teach elective arts at the college level, so I get a lot of non-art majors. And one of the things that I encourage all of them is that I talk about this aspect of art where, you know, in our past, at some point in time, we all drew, right? And yeah, but somewhere along the line in grade school, someone came along and they're like, "Oh, well, Andy's the artist in the class, so right. You know, just stop." You know, or
you're embarrassing yourself.
You yeah, like stop. Susie's the artist, so you should just not apply. You know, and everybody just stopped drawing because there was one person that became the artist, and everybody stopped, and it's somewhat ridiculous because if we did this with reading and writing, like only one third of our population could actually read and write. You know, it's might be true, but
you're absolutely. I mean, your point is 100% accurate. But like, but I think a lot of the majority of the country, though, when it comes to your education, there's only so much time allotted, you know, or budget for certain schools to teach certain things, which is sad. In a way, because I didn't have not one art class ever as a child.
Oh, wow.
And you did. Like, if you look at some of my sketchings when I'm a kid and when you're drawing, like, I actually am serious, not about the red line thing I drew, but I did. I used to draw Viking ships and all kinds of stuff when I was in, like, first through third grade and, like, just lots of stuff. And, like, they were like, "Oh, wow, you're really a good artist." But then, yeah, at some point, you just stopped doing it. You know, and it wasn't for probably something like that, but you stop drawing. And then I remember like my nephew and I were talking because he's 10 or 11 right now. And he was talking about how much he loves Legos. And I was like, well, you realize that, you know, in a couple of years, you're probably going to grow out of that because you'll get into something else. You'll get into football, or you'll get into baseball, or you'll get, you know, like, and you stop, like, that's just a natural progression of life, sadly. But, you know, I didn't have a lot of classes. The only thing that was offered to me, I had wood shop in high school but like I said, I'm just from the middle of fucking nowhere. So I didn't have shit. Thanks, Chris, for not interrupting me at all. in a way you kind of did. I will not acknowledge that.
You can talk about art class. When I was in eighth grade, junior high.
Don't be serious. Might have been ninth, it doesn't suit you, Jack.
Might have been ninth grade. I was in a class where an art class where we had we drew with, you know, those inkwell, you know, the old fashioned, and you drew like 3D type things and squares and all that. And my teacher really thought, you know, I had talent at that. But then somehow in 11th grade, I got in a commercial art class. And the teacher goes, because I was like, I was that guy that, why are you in this class? Because I didn't have the talent that the, I mean, I could draw and I do, but I didn't have the talent like a Matt. I didn't have that kind of talent. I go, he goes, he told class. He goes, why are you in this class? I go, I don't know. I didn't ask to be in this class. I didn't sign up for it. I just got stuck in that class. And it just was one of those things where he was like, what do you mean? I go, I don't know. I never asked to be in this class. I never asked to be in an art class in high school. I just got, sometimes it's where so many kids in the school, sometimes you get, well, screw you. You're going to do this class because we don't have nowhere else to put you.
Oh, sure.
And that's what happened. I'm like, and I'm with these guys that like you, they're, I'm like going, okay, I can do a stick figure. I mean, there's certain things I could do, but I couldn't do it at the level they were doing.
Sure. So, and that can be tough and it can be intimidating, but I at least try to encourage drawers at a very early level to continue to not stop. And
well, the worst thing this asshole teacher did, he didn't say it one-on-one. He said it to the whole class. So the whole class is looking at me like, yeah, why is this asshole in this class? I mean, that's how, you know, insensitive teachers were. I mean, but I'm like going, and I just fought back. I said, I don't know. I didn't ask to be in this stupid class. I think that's what I actually said. He goes, well, you should, I go, what can I do? So afterwards, he kind of apologized afterwards saying, I didn't mean to call you out publicly. I go, well, you did. But the whole thing is like, I'd never asked to be in this stupid fucking art class.
Hey, that's how I felt about gym. So,
well, I would have done two gym classes. Actually, I did sometimes, but that's okay. I would ditch one class and go to someone else's PE classes to go play football or something.
I ditched study hall and went to hang out in the art room. So, but
anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, it's good to talk about it. I don't mind it. You know, I can send something along with David, and I've been meaning to message him on Facebook, but I get lazy. So
the one thing I was going to say, like, but art though, like I said, like there wasn't much art, at my schools ever, like to learn. But the one thing we did have going for us was we did have a great music teacher at our school. He loved music. And so he came. And so we were a single A school. Like I said, like I've graduated 84 people from my graduating class.
What's single A mean?
One art class.
Yeah, one art. Yeah. Single A, you know, because in high school sports, you have single A to 5A. And depending on, like, so like a school that had, like, I don't know the exact numbers, but if you had like 1,000 students per class, as in like your class of 99 or 98 or whatever, then you're like a 5A school because it's a huge school. But my school was roughly 400 something people. So we were single A, like a very small school. But the guy that came to our school to teach music was actually like a very gifted musician. And so the band, almost like 85% of the people were in the band at the school.
Oh, wow.
So every single person knew how to read music and play music and things like that. And it was insane. It's no longer, he retired. He's long gone now. But when you see, like, I was never in the marching band, but if you saw the size of our school and then saw the size of the marching band during high school halftime shows, you would have thought we were a college because it was just that it would take up the whole field. And it was just one of those weird things that I never thought about growing up as being weird until, like, you think about it and you're like, holy shit, the entire high school is on the high school football field right now. So it's just, but like I said, like every single person I know, that's another reason. Tennessee has always been a music state though. So that's what I mean. Like we all try to learn how to play some kind of music.
Were there people in your school not in the marching band?
Yes. I mean, I was never in the marching band cause I played football, I was in the concert band. So, the marching band was the fall. The concert band was December through like March. And then I forget what else was. But so I would learn classical music pieces and play at concerts. But because that was my elective because it was an easy A every year. So I did that.
But yeah, everyone I was all about the easy A.
Huh?
I was all about the easy A.
Absolutely.
Except commercial art. We got an email from Joanne with a plan. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because you watched The Man in the High Castle. Have we all watched The Man in the High Castle?
I believe we have. I believe we all have.
We were all going to talk about that at one point.
Yeah. I know. I derailed that.
Just a little bit.
That's okay. You're busy painting.
You guys could have gone on without me. You know that.
No. We're a team, Matt.
Yeah. We're all about the team.
I finished this season, did I?
Yeah. Yeah, you did. You were like done like way ahead of like a, yeah, like you and Jack like
I actually have forgotten how
it's been that long. Yeah,
yeah. I said when Matt finished 7 months later, I go, I can't talk about this. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Well, minor spoilers then for Man in the High Castle then.
Well, no, it has nothing to do with that.
Oh, okay. Never
mind. Okay. This is entitled it Matt, Jack, Chris, and Nick.
Wow.
Matt, Nick, you're back to last again.
Back to fourth billing. Thanks.
That's okay. At least Jay's not on there.
Yes,
following the fine Netflix tradition of basing what you would like on your have watched, I have a recommendation for you, a documentary, actually a three-part series. Each part is 1 hour. Five Came Back, and it happens to be on Netflix.
It's called Five Came Back?
Five Came Back. I've actually watched the first episode. I watched the first episode about this a couple months ago, and I don't know why. I enjoyed it. I don't know why I didn't go back to it. Short Wikipedia summary is a documentary focused on five directors: John Ford, William Wyler.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
John Huston, Frank Capra, and George Stevens, who are war-related works and analyze modern filmmaking. Besides fascinating story and propaganda filmmaking, it certainly fits well with The Man in the High Castle, at least the first season, which I just finished. Enjoy, Joanne with the plan. I've seen the first one. I enjoyed it. It was interesting. I don't know why I didn't go back to it and finish the other two episodes.
That sounds intriguing. I like those directors.
Yeah, I definitely check it out. I was listening to a debate like kind of like that, like there were, because those are very different war two directors. And it was an interesting debate. Like someone actually posed a question, like, "What's your favorite World War II film?" And it's like Chris responding, like, "Fuck you." I was like, that's an impossible question to answer because there's so many different styles of World War II films. You know, because you have like Kelly's Heroes, which is like a comedy but a War II film. Then you have some like Patton, which is a very serious, or you have some like Saving Private Ryan, which is even completely different. And so it's like you can't say like what's your favorite World War II film because it's not, it's so different.
Well, you look at the war movies back in the, you know, I think I've talked about it before, back, you know, before Saving Private Ryan, they were more, you know, the guy gets shot and you're like, you know, it's like, okay, he got shot, no big deal. But Saving Private Ryan, it's so realistic. You go, all right, that guy's guts just spilled out of him. This is terrible. Why am I watching this? Why did this happen? It's just a different direction where war movies went before, where they were propaganda films.
Yeah.
You had John Wayne. Oh, we're going to take this hill and all this different. I know it's terrible. John Wayne. I just did. I can do a better. I wasn't prepared to talk about this. But you know, like, you know, your
you got to be able to get in character, Jack, like that.
You know, I used to, but I'm older. But you have like your Audie Murphy, who was actually a war hero, but he did war movies where it was like, they were just glorified movies. Right. They glorified war. Whereas you're like Band of Brothers, you're Saving Private Ryan, those type of movies. You know, what's the one with what's the Vietnam one?
Which one?
Platoon. Where it's just like, oh my God, this really happened. I mean, it was realistic.
But yeah, I mean, it's like Top Gun. Top Gun was a huge propaganda film too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That movie got I'm quoting what I think is truth. I've read or heard about this in the past, but I believe Top Gun had a significant amount of backing from the Navy. Yeah. Because that movie really glorified naval aviation, right?
Well, we all have the need for some speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it made you want to enlist.
Unfortunately,
right?
Mr. Greco took advantage of that. But the
I always play volleyball like this.
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is like if you think about it, because I think Platoon and Top Gun came out relatively around the same time frame.
86, yeah.
And that was like a big contrasting release because Platoon was if anything, again, like the exact opposite of what, you know, the armed forces would have wanted to have seen in the theaters. Right. But Top Gun was a huge recruitment film.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't remember the drill sergeant, you know, wanting to, you know, skull fuck some guy. So
that's
Oh, that was Full Metal Jacket. Sorry.
I am in a world of shit.
I get Platoon and Full Metal Jacket flipped around in my mind.
But I mean, that's roughly the same time, too. That's 87.
87? So is it Full Metal Jacket? I thought it was early 80s.
No.
Is that a early jelly donut?
No.
Shit, what was I going to say? Oh, but yeah, like I was going to say, do your point with Jack about John Wayne, you know, because Green Berets was made on purpose for a propaganda film because every single thing about Vietnam was negative. And you know, he grew up in that era where it's like, no, like if your country goes to war, you need to support it. So he made that movie just for that reason.
Which is I think if you like Vietnam opened up a lot of eyes, not to get political, but
it's true though. I mean, it's just history, Jack.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
It's just like because you know, I mean, you can almost pinpoint it when Kennedy got shot of just how the country flipped. You know, of how the distrust of the government from that point on just happened, and especially once the Pentagon Papers and so many things happened, you saw where the country starting even a little bit with JFK, but especially with Johnson. The country was willing to lie to the people. And that's where people just started from that point on, distrusting everything. And
well, they've always been willing to lie to the people, but this actually,
Roswell, come on.
But I've said this before. If you haven't seen Vietnam by Ken Burns.
Yeah. It's great.
You have to watch it. I mean, I know this is not Russia, but you have to watch it because it's a lot of it. You're like, oh, I already knew that. But when you actually hear the voices of our world, our leaders saying we can't win this war, but let's keep sending those troops in there to fight and kill. It just like you go, what the fuck?
Yeah, because they knew in roughly 65 that it was possible to win. For 8 more years, they kept sending people
because
in.
For political reasons, and it happens still happens today. And I'm not getting too political, but our leaders do things just for political purpose and not for what is right.
What are you whamming on about now?
I'm just whamming. But anyway,
I love documentaries. You know, they're great. Like I said, like I actually saw an advertisement for the other day, the one I was talking about last week or week before last with World War I. The They Shall Not Grow Old is going to have a countrywide now release, and you guys need to see it. It's so good. The World War I documentary that Peter Jackson put together. It's great.
Yeah, it just like I said, war is. I remember having a debate with somebody a few years ago about being a Band of Brothers fan. They go, "Oh, you're just pro war." I go, "I don't know how anyone can watch this and be pro war. There's just no way."
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's not Audie Murphy, it's not John Wayne. It's when you see these guys still talking about, you know, 60 years later, still talking about something that affected them at the time, and it still affects them today. I don't know how you can walk away going, "Yeah, let's go to war." Anyway. Didn't mean to get on a war subject.
I don't think no one's pro war. I think that should be the last resort of everything. It's just war is nothing but politics by other means, you know, continuation. Yeah. That's all it is. And I'm a libertarian, as I think some people know. Like Rand Paul always says that, you know, it's like when the government wants to go to war, you need to ask yourself, like, would you be willing to send your kids to this? Like, are you willing to sacrifice this people, like in the end, like when you think about it, like what goal is it trying to achieve? And if you cannot sit there and go, when we win, this is the result, then it's not worth going.
Exactly. Exactly. And we ended the show on another good note.
I'm sorry. Did we finish? Yeah, we did. Joanna with plans for email. Okay.
Chris. Yeah. So we might as well talk about Super Bowl real quick. Got Super Bowl coming up, Super Bowl 53.
That's right.
It's funny because I'm 56. The first Super Bowl I remember watching was the Jets versus Baltimore. That was the Namath one going, we're going to guaranteeing a victory. I don't remember the first two, Green Bay, Kansas City, and Green Bay, Oakland. Now Oakland doesn't even have a team anymore. That's okay. Thanks, Goodell. So I do remember that's the first one I actually remember. It was Jets versus Baltimore. But there's so 53 Super Bowls. The Patriots have been winning at 30 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you have? I'll start with Chris. Nick, what's going to be the score? Who do you think? Who's going to win and what's going to be the score?
Honest?
Yeah.
36-30, Pats.
36-30, and why?
Because I think Rams are going to come out strong, and it's going to be a very close, probably three quarters. But in the end, I think the Pats just experience and unbelievable arrogance will pull them through.
Have you seen the meme where it's at the LA has a new Rams have a new groundskeeper?
Oh, and, yeah. I love that one. Yeah.
Belichick.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm rooting for the Rams to win all the way. I'm just being realistic. I think the Pats will win.
All right. So we got Nick. I'm writing these down on my Jay and Jack paper.
You're breaking out some
fancy paper.
Yeah, and you're kind of going old sports talk here on us here, Jack.
Well, I figured we start on the war thing, and I don't want to end on the war.
Sure.
So
what's it good for?
Absolutely nothing. Say it again,
y'all.
Okay, Matt, who do you
good
have?
Good God, y'all. Well, I think it's going to be Pats, probably for the exact same thing that Nick had said. I don't want them to win, but I think that they're going to be the more dominant defense. They're going to stop the Rams from scoring, and they'll hold them to a unreasonable amount of touchdowns. You know, it's only going to be like 21 to like 34. So
Pats have 34, Rams 21. That's kind of a boring Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know, but it's they're going to hold them. They're going to their defense is going to be stronger, and they're going to hold them to a low scoring game.
All right, let's go with Chris.
So I like the credit that you're giving the Patriots defense, but you can't shrug off Goff and his offense. I mean, I think that they've clearly positioned themselves as the best team in the NFC, and you can see why. So I don't think it's going to be as much of a walk in the park defensively for the Patriots. I think it's going to be a well-fought game, and there's nobody you want more in a Super Bowl than Tom Brady. I mean, yes, he has the experience of being on the big stage, but we have a team right now that is just firing on all cylinders, and we have all the things that we have all of the attributes that you don't think a great Super Bowl team would have. Right? There's no star receiver. There's no lightning fast defensive back. Like, it's just a team of misfits, if you will. So for my final score, my final prediction, I think it's going to be a bit closer, not too much closer, but I think it's going to be 31-24 Pats.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go, I'll be the lone guy that goes out on the limb here. I think it's going to be, because what Belichick does is he takes away the best player on the team. And what he did against the Chargers, he took away Phillip Rivers. He just made Phillip Rivers he gave Phillip Rivers no time to throw, so and to think and stuff like that. So and with against Kansas City, for the first half they took away Mahomes. They took away the whole offense of Kansas City. The whole first half, Kansas City didn't score.
He took the soul of that team away.
Yeah, it's just what he does. But you look at the Rams now. The Rams have two really good running backs with Gurley and C.J. Anderson right now. They have a great offensive line. But the thing that the Rams have that the Patriots have trouble with, and that they've saw it with the two Super Bowls against
they got the Spice Girls
against the Giants. Why the Giants beat the Pats twice is they were able to get to Brady. It wasn't Eli Manning who got the
no. MVP. That's true.
Were able to put pressure on Brady and not have him and disrupt this flow of the game. I think the Rams have a good, really good front, defensive front, and they have they're good in the trenches. And I think that they can win the game. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be 26 Rams, 22 Pats. I don't even want to put that score. Rams will win the game. And I just think that the Rams were able to go into New Orleans, and after first 10 minutes of just playing like shit, they settled. They did that fake punt. Settled down.
Oh yeah, that was brilliant.
And also, what helps too is what hurt the AFC teams always. You have to play the Pats differently. You have to think outside the box. You have to be willing to take chances, because Belichick will take chances, and Sean McVay is not afraid to take chances. And I think that helps them playing the Pats.
Well, he's got someone to make sure he's not jumping onto the field. He's got his spotter to swipe him away from the sidelines.
That's true. But like Nick said too, the NFL needs the Rams to be successful in LA. So
The fix is in.
The fix is in. But I think I'm hoping for at least a good game. Because I don't have a dog in the game. I don't have a dog in the NFL anymore. But you know, when you tune into the Super Bowl, you don't want to see that blowout where the team, you know, wins 50-0. That sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks. You want to see a close game, maybe come down to the end where Tennessee is almost there. A yard and a half short shy. I'm kidding, of course. But no, they should have won. Anyway, but I'm gonna take the Rams 26-22. And there you go. I'll be the lone person going against the favorite. The Pat's still favored, but 2.5.
Well, I mean, three of the four of us are rooting for the Rams. So actually, I think most of the country is rooting for the Rams.
Except for Louisiana.
Yeah.
And the whole
Can you believe East that Coast. This was like we had our leaders talking about this, you know, doing a new game and all this different shit they had going on. I mean, I get it. If you're a Saints fan, I'd be pissed. But there were calls missed in the whole game. I mean, that was obviously a blatant mistake. But still.
Well, and there's calls missed in every game. So, yeah. I mean, just you have to play with what you have. And, you know, it didn't go your way. Like, I get it. It sucks. But, you know, you got to move on, you know. Right. And
well, Cindy and I were talking about it, and she goes, are the refs just getting bad? Or they, I go, no, I just think technology is so good that you can actually see – you can see the mistake because the camera zooms right in and you can see perfectly. Why did they see that? Well, the ref doesn't have that ability to zoom in. I mean, I didn't ref at that level, but I refed all the way up to college. And there were times, you're blind. You couldn't see you didn't see it. But there was one time where at a youth game where this coach, he was passive aggressive, kind of a dick. He never yelled at you, but he was passive aggressive. And he thought his son got tripped. And he goes, he's like, oh, no. I go, I didn't see – there's no trip. I didn't see a trip. Well, he took a frame shot of the – because someone was filming it. And he put on the Canadian's message with Russ. He said, big letters, trip. Well, I watched the video. The kid actually jumps over the stick and then falls as the kid stole the puck. There was no trip. So I went up to him. I said, yeah, watch the whole video, guy. He didn't. He jumps the stick. He didn't get tripped. I won. I was right. But I just think the technology is I just read the chat. The technology is just so high tech that it makes the refs look bad.
Yeah, true.
That's all I guess.
Speaking of technology. And where you can get some really high fancy technology, or you know, if you want to invest in what I hear is the next new gold rush, buy some Legos on Amazon.
Yeah,
they're worth more than gold.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually.
So we have an Amazon affiliate link, Amazon.com/JayandJack.
JayandJack.com/Amazon.
Did I flip it around? I'm sorry, Sherry. I've been so good about it, and then I fucked it up. So there you go, JayandJack.com/Amazon. My apologies, Sherry, who keeps us in check for all of our mistakes.
Someone has to remember it.
We do, yeah, because we don't. But anyway, that is the Amazon affiliate link. You can
just help us out. JayandJack.com.
Or go to JayandJack.com. Huh? Yeah.
Become a patron. So,
it's right there. Click. Do you want to become a patron?
Sure, we all do.
Yeah, you can become a patron. You go to jayandjack.com. If you're $1 a month, you get to see this show live and see how much fun it is. I mean, how many people would you have in the chat? I got booted out of the chat. So how many people do we have in the chat?
Do you really want to know?
well, usually we give people
throughout the whole show.
Or notice, but it just this week was kind of.
It's your favorite name.
My favorite name.
Yeah,
seven.
Seven.
All right. Nice.
So. Nice Seinfeld reference. Nice. So that's not bad this late at night on a cold, whamming winter. What do we have going on here? So,
and we've got there's a new show coming out on the Jay and Jack Network. So everybody's looking very forward soon. To.
Yeah. Jay and I recorded it. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time. It was good back in the swing of things.
I hope it's successful. I just think Jay's a bit rusty, you know, and like he probably doesn't remember how to talk.
Well, to be fair, I wanted to call the show Nick and Jack, even though Nick wasn't on it.
Yeah, I would love that. I think it would have been a classic. You'd have a lot more people subscribing to it. Yeah.
And well, who's because people are like, is Jay? Did you fire Jay? Did you get rid of Jay? Yeah. No, Jay just quit. I mean, that's just what he want. You know, he got out of shape. He got out of podcasting shape.
He did.
But now he's pumped up. He's ready to go. I mean, he's just when Jay gets excited about something.
Sometimes you got to take a season off to come back and, you know.
Because to be honest, I was like, what show do you want to do? What?
He did set stipulations, though. I was like, yeah, you know, like we'll do like six episodes a year.
It's going to be a 12-episode season.
Okay.
Yeah. He's already got guests lined up. I mean, it's crazy. He's already got all these guests lined up.
I just realized that Jay kind of talks like Jay Leno, doesn't he?
He does.
Like he's like, hey, like, you know, like, let's go get some Doritos, like, you know, some salsa, you know.
Sam, right. Tina.
Send Tina an email. You'll get whatever. You'll get a 5-cent coupon.
Yeah.
Yay! Anyway, so you become a patron. Go to patron. Just go to jayandjack.com. I can't remember. And click on the little button. Become a patron. We thank all our patrons. We love all our patrons. They're all special in our hearts. But right now we're
going to thank we do appreciate everything that they contribute. So
we're gonna thank Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Richter Glaffelder, who's always making fun of Nick and Chris on Twitter.
Yep. Oh, is he?
Yeah, always. It's always. It's nonstop, and there's a couple times I don't even
follow you. So.
He doesn't add us that much. So
sometimes I'll add you, but sometimes I'm laughing so much. I feel bad for you. Maggie the Magnificent, Ed the Creepy Letter Carrier, and Joanne, thank you for another email. Joanne, yes. With the plan. And that's all we got. That's all I got.
All right, stick a fork in this one. This one's done.
I got to babysit tomorrow morning. I'm excited about that.
And for the record, Pat, I wanted just to say that Jack has predicted that, and he's cheering for it, that the Rams will win.
So if the Rams lose, it's on me.
Since you're going on the record, Chris, would you also like to apologize to that old man? Did you beat up?
Old man, take a look at my life.
Chris, it's not like he's living anymore anyway.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
I heard he's a mule.
He was so mad.
You guys beat him up.
All right, guys. This was a great show. It was one in a whammy.
All right, guys. Good job. And thanks for everyone in the chat. Thanks for joining us. And
thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you next time.
We appreciate it. All right. Hasta luego. And goodbye.
Bye-bye.